Will you turn with me in the scriptures to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15? The Gospel of Luke and the 15th chapter. And we will read just a portion of a very well-known parable of the New Testament, which our Lord gave for our instruction. Luke chapter 15. At the 11th verse, let us hear the word of God. And he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously move to open our ears and our hearts, lest we be hardened against the words of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us ears to hear, that we might receive divine truth, and bless by thy Spirit's anointing that the truth of Scripture might be made very clear, and that its authority might be perceived, and that its power to transform the heart and mind might be wrought among us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have heard the prodigal son parable many times, doubtless. And as we've only read the first portion of it this evening, we've brought forth the focus of our thoughts for the night. That there was this young man who had an idea of a life he wanted to live and a world in which he was going to live it. And when it was all said and done, not much time had passed, and he had come to the bottom of his barrel, and he realized he was utterly bankrupt. The fact that Jesus told this parable some 2,000 years ago reveals to us that there is an age-old illusion that somewhere out there ahead there is a life for us different than what we've known, filled with far more fun and pleasure than we've had, and one that is to be pursued. And every generation of humanity has set forth on that pursuit, reaching out for that life that they think to be there. But when they finally get to it, and they finally get a hold of it, it's not what they had thought it was. And in fact, it proves to be all the more empty and unfulfilling because of the fact that it's not what it was imagined to be. There's a saying that I heard many times growing up, and it must have come out of the farm culture of this part of the country, and you've probably heard it too, and it's simply this: the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Have you heard that saying? Familiar with that one? And I guess the farmers said that because it seemed like the cows could always get loose, as if the grass outside the fence was better than the grass within the fence. In fact, one farmer told me he thinks they could smell an open gate miles away. The cattle can get loose. They think it's greener on the other side of the fence. And so how many young people have been told by their parents or grandparents, well, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And that's sort of the circumstance that this young man that the Lord Jesus speaks of was in. He had lived at home where there were rules, where he had chores to tend to, and finally he had come of age. He was at a rite of passage age, and he said to his father, "Give me what's coming to me," and his father gave it to him, but he couldn't keep it. And as he went out to use it on everything that he could imagine would make life fuller and more exciting and more rewarding, he found no fulfillment, no reward, no excitement that lasted or did anything for him. And soon the money was gone. Soon he realized the dream was only that, a dream. And in this age, we have presented before us something of a phantom existence. You see, in the days that Christ spoke, this problem was there. This idea that there's something out there better than here, and I'm going to forget the restraints and forget the rules of home, and I'm going to go out and live it up. But once they've gotten there and lived it up, they find out that's not living at all. Even as this young boy, young man, feeding pigs. And believe me, for a Jewish boy to whom pigs, swine are unclean and defiling animals, he could go no lower than having to feed them. And being hungrier than they were, would have eaten what they were eating. He found out the grass wasn't greener on the other side of the fence. What he had perceived out there was just an illusion. It was just a phantom of the mind. It was not real. And the only difference that I see between this circumstance and the circumstances of this age is this. In our age, technology exists that can make the dream, the phantom, look all the larger, all the stronger, all the more beautiful. The subtlety thus is increased many, many fold. We are fed a steady diet by the mass media of images, visual images, taken with high-tech equipment, cameras, and it presents a world to us that we can see, and it looks as real as can be, but in fact it is an artificial and a manufactured world. You watch the sports channels, and how many of them are there? And you see the heroes, and how they can quickly throw them into slow motion as they stride along in front of the camera. And there's something about the whole projection that makes those players look bigger than life. And the same is done in the entertainment industry and in the political world. And there is a picture drawn for everyone to see that looks so inviting and so successful and so, wow, if we could just get that. But all you need to do is stop briefly to consider the people who have gotten that. This afternoon I drove fast into Fast Lou. My car was about 2,000 miles beyond oil change time, and it had to be done, and I had to get it done fast so I could get back here and be with you folks tonight. And so as they were changing the oil in my car and I was sitting briefly in the waiting room, they were fast. I picked up a magazine, and of all things, People magazine. And People magazine, the only time I see it is when I get my oil changed. People magazine is filled with all of the pictures and the stories of the people who have arrived. The stars, the people who are the people on the cutting edge. They've made it. And as I leafed through it, hoping they would finish changing my oil quickly, I came across a story concerning a movie star who died in 1981 as a relatively young lady. Her death, well, there have been conspiracy theories. There have been questions arise as to whether it was accidental or not. It was ruled accidental, evidently, while on a yacht with her husband. She drunk, slipped off into the water and drowned. That's one sad story. Because the two of them had been arguing strongly and fighting back and forth, all kinds of theories arose that maybe her husband had something to do with her slipping off and into the water to drown. And she had always had such a fear of water. And there's someone who had arrived. If I asked you to name five big-name celebrities who died young by way of a drug overdose, you could probably, in a few minutes' time, come up with those names. That's how well-known this phenomenon is to our culture. Those for whom the cameras were set just right so that when their picture was snapped, it looked like they were on top of the world. And of course, everybody knew they were famous. That's why their pictures were in the magazines. Everybody knew they were rich. Every movie star gets rich. Everybody knew that they were at the top of the social spectrum in their world. They had arrived. And arrived very early and sadly at their grave. Because all of those things are just an illusion. It is a fantasy. It is a phantom world. And yet it is put before us by all of the technology media today as being the thing to strive after. And how many young people graduating from high school, whether they are really conscious of it or not, are setting their sights on something like that. And they're going to strive for it. And they're going to get in the right places where they can be with the right people and get their reputation and their friends and their life. And they may get there. But in reality, there really doesn't even exist. There is nothing to it. Yes, one preacher put it this way many years ago when he said, all the devil's apples have worms. The apple may be polished and shine, and it may invite you to take a bite. It looks so good. But once you bite into it, it's not what it was proclaimed to be. And then, having gone for the highest and the best of imagination and not been satisfied, what is left? And so this explains why in the past couple of decades, scores of the most famous, most popular, most successful celebrities have died young with a drug overdose or with a deliberate taking of their life because they had gotten it all. And when they got it all, they had nothing. Except a greater emptiness, a larger void, compounded disappointment. Several years back, I was called by the funeral director up here in Delta to conduct a funeral for a young man who had died. The funeral director explained to me on the phone that it was a rather delicate situation. The young man did not have a church or a pastor, nor did his family have a church or a pastor. But they wanted a preacher to conduct the funeral, and the funeral director figured he would call me and tell me the circumstances. The young man had been at his birthday party the night before, and what a party it was. It was the kind of party that everybody that's really with it or going places has. And at the birthday party, he had gotten mighty drunk and had gone to bed, and in his drunken stupor had drowned in his own vomit. And now there was a tragedy beyond description. All of the great party wasn't such a great thing after all. And as I went to the funeral home on the day of the funeral to conduct the service, on the PA system within the funeral home, the family had music playing, which was doubtless some of the favorite songs of the deceased. And one of them that I cannot forget was a hit from the Beatles from back in the early 1970s that went this way. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell beneath us. Above us, only sky. I don't need to say the rest of the words. You know what the song was about. It was literally about a phantom world. A world of imagination. But not quite imagination, rather an exhortation to imagine. Because the only way there can be a world without a heaven or without a hell is if it is imagined up in the darkened mind of one who has tried to drown his problems with all of the phantom world that is set before us by our culture. We don't have to look far to find out how prevalent and how insane this fantasy world is. You all know the recent news that the world has come to this. If a man thinks he's a woman, he can use a ladies' restroom. And this is advocated by no less than the President of the United States. There you have it. We are living in a fantasy world. And yet it is within that world system and its structure that all of the media is telling us real life is to be found. If you really want to live it up, if you really want to be with it and where it is and be fulfilled, that's the world you have to live for. Even though the ones of whom we've already spoken, who reach the very peak of success in that world, demonstrate as a class to be among the most unhappy of all humanity. They've experienced that world, and they still don't have anything. And so they're searching for more in narcotics and in... You get what I'm saying. When a fantasy world is treated as reality, then reality will be treated like a phantom. And this is exactly what happens in this world. It is a world built upon a concept as absolutely ridiculous as biological evolution, where there, therefore, is no soul and no creator, and thus none to whom we are accountable. And just as we have all evolved from whatever to what we are now, we keep on trying to evolve further, and you evolve your own life and your own definition of fun. And as long as you don't hurt anybody else, it's okay. But the problem is, whether you hurt anyone else or not, you do irreparable harm to yourself. For when you build a life in a world that is merely a fantasy, then your life is only a fantasy. Then there is nothing true or real about your existence. And this doubtless is why many of those in that world have ended their lives, because they are living a mere phantom. There is nothing real about their existence. It is just a stumbling along from this to that, and each this and each that never offers or fulfills what it seemed to offer, and the disappointment only grows greater and greater and greater. The Apostle Paul, in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, was explaining to his readers the afflictions that he and other apostles suffered as spokesmen for Christ, how that he had been beaten, how that he had been shipwrecked multiple times, had spent a day and a night in the deep, not knowing whether there would be rescue or not. And as he describes all of these horrific experiences he suffered, he said concerning them, our light affliction, he called it light affliction, which is but for a moment, brief affliction, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There, the Apostle Paul described how it was that he could live in this world enduring such indignities, oppression, persecution, deprivation, and agony, and keep going. And it was by this means. He realized that all he was seeing in this world was temporal. We get the word temporary from that idea. That in fact, this whole world and all of the cultures of men, all of men's values and ways, everything that they esteem to be arriving at success is just a temporary illusion. It is just a fantasy, a phantom. And those who pursue it pursue nothing and will gain nothing for their pursuit. But the things which are not seen, he said, are eternal. There is a world that we do not see, not yet. And that is the real world. And at best, the whole of Scripture would suggest to us, at best, everything we see is but a faint shadow of that world. And the Apostle Paul knew the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Therefore, cling to the things that are unseen, the eternal. Which is more real? That which is temporary and soon to be done away, or that which is permanent and indestructible? I would side with that which is permanent and indestructible. That which is temporary is soon going to go its way and be done with. It's not as real as that which is indestructible and eternal. And it was that indestructible and eternal reality that the Apostle Paul was focused on. And those are the things we must look toward. Those are the things upon which and around which our lives must be built. Let me name a few of them. God is. He is real. He exists and He has created all things. And if you build a life that excludes God, then you exclude the ultimate of reality. Then you are building a life that is indeed nothing but a phantom, a dream, a fantasy. And this is why so many people who have built a life that excludes the fear of God wind up perhaps celebrities, but sad, sad celebrities, many of whom are no longer on the earth. God is real. And if you exclude such reality from your planning and living, then you live a phantom existence. It is a dream world. There will never be any contentment, satisfaction, accomplishment, achievement that matters. Another reality. God has revealed Himself to man. Not only in a written revelation which will never be destroyed, but in a living revelation named Jesus Christ, who was God revealed in human flesh. Yes, Christ lived upon this earth as the revelation of God to man, so much so that one can never know God unless he knows Jesus Christ. And those who build a life that excludes Jesus Christ build a mere fantasy, a phantom, because everything about it is lacking the most central and mighty truths there are, God revealed in Christ. There is another reality you must not forget. Hell. No one today wants to think seriously about this reality, but Jesus Christ did. And in fact, He said more about hell than any other writer of Scripture, than any other preacher in the Scripture. The fantasy phantom world of this age wants to treat hell as nothing more than a four-letter expletive with which to accent one's conversation, and thus diminish the reality of the terror of it. But Jesus Christ described a place called hell as a place of endless fire and torment and torture forevermore. And if you live excluding that reality, the things which are not seen, which are eternal, from your thought, then you build a life that is merely a fantasy, merely a dream. You remember, don't you, the story Christ told of the rich man who feasted at his tables every day, and at the gate of his palace was a man with leprosy, unclean and defiled, who could only eat the crumbs that came from the rich man's table, the table scraps, and the dogs that ate them with him would lick his sores that oozed as he lay untreated at the gate of the rich man. The rich man had this world. He had arrived. He was living the dream. Dream indeed. And Jesus said, the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in torments, plural, multiple torments, and cried out to Father Abraham, saying, I'm tormented in this flame. And that man, who probably had, since he was so rich, a collection of the finest wines of his age, was left in the torment of the fire, begging that the sore-covered Lazarus, the beggar who sat at his gate, might be sent with just a drop of water to drop from his sore-covered finger onto the tongue of the rich man to give him just an instant of possible relief. That's not my story. I didn't make it up. The Son of God, who is reality, presented that as reality and warns in the Scripture that there is a place called hell from which there are no exits, that are filled with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you build a life excluding that reality, you live in a dream world. But for the rich man, the dream came to an end, and suddenly it was reality. And he cries, I'm tormented in this flame. Another reality. Heaven. It is real. It is a place of glory beyond anything we can fathom. But I think in this age, the glories of heaven have been diminished in popular understanding because the reality of hell has been dismissed from popular understanding, which means that everybody is going to heaven in the phantom understanding. But if everybody is going to heaven, then it will not be a place of righteousness or justice or purity as the Scripture describes. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and Christ taught them both. And to exclude either is to live now in a fantasy. One other thing that is real, the Word of God. God has spoken. He has revealed Himself to us in a literary form. Just the history of the Bible as we have it today is in itself a miraculous history, confirming of everything it claims for itself. But what it claims is even more mighty, for it claims to be the Word of God, without error, never to mislead. And one who builds a life excluding the Scripture lives a phantom existence, because this is reality forever settled in heaven. The Lord Jesus spoke as well to his disciples, and he told them in chapter 7 of Matthew, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. He merely built in a dream, a phantom existence, a fantasy. He built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. My friends, there is a world of fantasy that excludes the God of the Bible, the Christ of the Scripture, the heaven and the hell of Scripture, and excludes Scripture itself. And most of the world today is functioning and building in that fantasy. It is a dream world they construct for themselves. But there is a world of reality. The things that are not seen, which are eternal. And those who build there, they build a house that no storm will destroy. They build upon the rock no less than Jesus Christ Himself. And it is a house that stands. It is a good time for every one of us to take prayerful and sober measure. What is my life? On what am I building? Is it the fantasy that an unhappy and failing world presents, or the reality that our happy God and Savior present? Consider your ways.